Special thanks to our friends over at True Car for sponsoring this episode of Rob Has a Podcast. Every car comes with its share of stories: that ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up your first date, that luxury package you got after that big promotion, or the mileage you save by riding your bike all summer long. While you can't put a price tag on your stories now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or to trade it in. Just go to True Car and simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions like navigation and moonroof. Watch as they bump up your car's value. High mileage, you already knew it was going to cost you, but now you can find out how much it's going to ding your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you can get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or to trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True cash offer not available in all areas. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's been learning the Ron Clark comma dance all day long. I am Rob Sisterino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Survivor Feedback Show here for week number two. And I'm very excited that we have a great guest for you today who's here with me on the line. Please welcome to the podcast. Very excited to talk to the great Lyrsa Torres. Lyrsa, how are you?
Hey, Rob. I'm fine. How are you?
Excuse me?
Yes, Lyrsa. I'm so happy. I'm so happy to talk to you.
Me too. I'm very excited about this.
Yes. Lyrsa, I felt like that when we talked during David versus Goliath, I said, okay, that Lyrsa, I have to get her on the podcast with me.
Oh, thank you. I really wanted to talk more to you, but you know, that date, everything is like so crap and you have to do like just 15 minutes interviews.
Yes.
But I was really looking forward to talk to you a little bit more.
Yes. That you seem like a person to me that you are not particular or shy about your words, and you tell it like it is.
Yeah, my mouth gets me in a lot of trouble because sometimes I'm like trying to say something and I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I think because of my cultural background is different, I come out too strong. So it was a challenge for me during the game because I was trying to express my opinion without being rude and trying not to snap. Because one day I really, really was about to snap and I told Mike, we were rebuilding the shelter and I was like fed up and I told him like, I want to snap. And the problem is that if I snap, I'm going to snap in Spanish and it's going to bring a lot of issues to me because I won't be able to control myself. And then Mike was like, snap, snap, snap in Spanish. Like, he really wanted me to start cursing in Spanish, which I did the first couple of days. And someone told me like, hey, we know what you're saying. You can't keep cursing in Spanish because then we won't be able to feature you on the episodes.
Yeah.
So I had to stop.
Well, Lyrsa, you can curse in Spanish as much as you want in this podcast because we have parents that are, you know, listening to this podcast in the car and they have kids there. And so I try to get people not to curse in English. But, you know, these kids don't know Spanish for the most part, I don't think. And so feel free to, you know, curse away in Spanish.
Ay, coño, qué bueno.
Sure.
Oh my god.
So, and look, a mouth can get you in trouble on Survivor, but that's actually a good quality on a podcast.
Oh yeah, I think
you don't want to be boring.
Yeah, I don't think even if I behave and I don't curse or anything, I don't think I'm boring. I always have like I always have a story for something. I'm one of those people, and I'm 37 years old. So I was actually the oldest female on the David tribe.
Yeah, I found this out. You know, I do a lot of research for the podcast, and this was something that, you know, when we're going through everything, that this was very surprising. That I think a lot of people think that you're like 25.
Yes, I am blessed with the Latino gift. Mm-hmm. So I really don't look my age, and people really don't believe I'm 37. So sometimes I have to, like, I really love it when they cart me when I'm going to buy like alcohol or cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And the waitress is like, I know they're way younger than me, and I feel so, so good. And I'm like, honey, probably I'm older than you. And they're like, no, I don't think so. And then when they look, oh, holy shit, you are. So, yeah, I've been blessed with that.
Well, that's good. That's good to have. Lyrsa, before we talk about any of the stuff from Survivor, how's everything going in your real life since David versus Goliath?
It's been good. I found a really good job. And so, because I had to, like, I was working at the museum before I went into the game, and I had to quit. And I came back, I got into an interview, and the only thing they asked me was about the show. So that was great. Mm-hmm. And I found a really, really, well, they asked me other stuff, but I found a really good job. So I'm doing fine. I got engaged. I was like, kind of like engaged.
Congratulations.
But yeah, we're like trying to plan the wedding and see what we're going to do. We got a new apartment. We got a new dog. So yeah, it's been good. I got a new tattoo. So it's been good.
Yeah, I saw that on your arm, right?
Yes.
What is it?
Well, it's funny because I wanted to do something related to the show, but I didn't want to do something sterile and something that everybody had. Like, a lot of people were saying, oh, I'm going to get like the 37 tattoo or like the coordinates of Fiji. I'm like, yeah, that's nice. But I want to do something that really represents my journey on the show. So at one point, I said to one of the producers, because every tribal, my name came up, and I'm like, I have more lives than a cat. And then the jacket gay came up, and I was like browsing towards some tattoos online, and I saw a tattoo of like kind of like the body of a female with the head. It was like a cassette. Mm-hmm. So I went to my artist and I'm like, can you combine my body on this picture? The picture I'm with Angelina right before they evacuated us from the island. Mm-hmm. And my cat's face, because I said that I had more lives than a cat. Mm-hmm. So we came with the concept of the jacket and the cat. And the thing is that at the reunion, for some reason, one of the eyes didn't got the ink. So the eye fell off. And on the reunion, the cat was kind of like blind and didn't have an eye, but we fixed it.
What do you mean the eye fell off of the tattoo?
Yeah, I don't know how that happens. Sometimes your body rejects ink for some reason. And it rejected it in one eye. So it was like a whole white space. If you go back to the reunion where Christian was talking, which is funny because I knew Jeff was not going to talk to me. Mm-hmm. And then I look at the screen and they're talking to Christian and you can see my arm. And I'm like, you know what? This is the only way I'm going to be really featured at the reunion. So I kept moving around. Mm-hmm. So you can see my cat behind Christian.
Yeah.
So the whole time I was there, but I wasn't. My cat was. So.
Okay. So we need a screenshot of this. Okay. But I'm seeing I'm looking on your Instagram and I see the picture.
Yeah, everybody was laughing a lot. Like, my brother kept texting me, like, we can't see you, but we can see the tattoo. It's hilarious, because they're talking to Christian, but we're just looking at the tattoo, and you're moving behind him. So it was a joke in my family. The whole tattoo on the screen was a big joke.
Okay. Lyrsa, let's get into everything from this week in Survivor. And let me just also just quickly say that if anybody missed our recap podcast that I did with Coach, rave reviews for the recap podcast this week with the Dragon Slayer. And as I hear your baby, Batata.
Yeah. Batata Devani.
Yes. Have you considered renaming Batata the War Dog?
No. No, which is funny because War Dog was at my final audition.
He was.
He was. And we actually had the pool time at the same time, but I got there first. So I knew that the water was fucking cold and he didn't know. And he tried, and another dude too, which he didn't made it. And I named him Douchebag One because he had like that kind of like vibe that he was going to be a douchey guy.
Was there another douchebag?
Well, there were a couple of douchebags on my, like, you know that you make you can't talk, so you make impressions right. of people by
Keep
what they
the nicknames.
Look like. Yeah, so Wardo was Tony 2, mm-hmm. and Mike was Mike because Mike was at my audition, and I look at him like, I have seen this guy before, but I don't remember. Was he a captain, maybe? Or someone I met at the airport? And then I Google him, and I'm like, oh my god, it's fucking Mike White.
Well, what did you Google?
I thought he was from The Amazing Race, but I wasn't sure. So I type Amazing Race and then like went bagging through the pictures of Google and I saw him and I got so fucking excited and I called my girlfriend like, babe, one of the guys from The Amazing Race is here and I was rooting for him and his dad because they were so cute. Mm-hmm. And that's how I remember it was Mike.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, but Wardo was at my audition, and he tried to run into the pool, and the pool was freaking cold, and he had like no idea. It was very funny to see.
What did he do? Did he jump right out, or he tried to ease his way in?
No, douche guy number one, and I already knew it was cold. I had my feet in the water because I wanted to like submerge myself little by little because I already knew, but he didn't. So he just dived into it, and I'm like, oh, shoot.
Who did, War Dog or Douchebag One?
The other guy, and he dived into it. I'm like, oh my god, this guy is gonna die. And he came out like, oh, like frazzled, and he was like, oh my god. So he get out of the pool, and then they notice that I was getting into the water like little by little. And then War Dog started to do the same. He put his feet first and then he walked into it like he was mimicking me. And I was like, this is so funny because this guy is super big and super buff. And he's like doing the tiny little things I'm doing. Like, this is so hilarious. But I got super excited when I saw him on the show.
Yeah. Would you have worked with War Dog?
Probably, because I always stole on my auditions that I was going to befriend. First of all, I wanted to befriend Elizabeth. Elizabeth was also at my audition. And when I saw this girl with the hat, I'm like, I want to be her friend. I don't know who she is, but there's something about her that I like. And she's bigger than me. So if we have to climb somewhere, I can use her as a stair. And I saw War Dog, and I just could picture myself being lit by him. So I'm like, these are the kind of people that I will befriend because they will help me because I'm fucking tiny and they're so big. So they will help me out.
So you looked for people you could stand on?
Well, not really, but I look for people that I, aside from created a bond, because when I went into the game, I really wanted to connect with people on a personal level, but mm-hmm. I was also looking for people that can, pair with me. Like, you have something that I don't have, and probably I have something that you don't have. So let's work together right. and we can like balance each other.
Compliment you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Lyrsa, let's talk about this episode where we saw Keith be the person who got voted out of the tribe. And there was a lot of talk about Keith being somebody who was holding the tribe back in challenges. And I want to ask you about that. There's a question for you. This is from Corey from Texas.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Lyrsa. This is Corey from Texas calling in with a question for Queen Lyrsa. This last episode, we saw Keith get voted out because of his perceived weakness in challenges, even though he was probably willing to be a loyal soldier to the Manu Majority Alliance and the Premier and wasn't working directly against them as far as we know. And as someone who struggled with being perceived as, quote unquote, weak in your season, what do you think is the best strategy to overcome this kind of negative perception in the early stages of the game and make it to a point where that perception might actually benefit you, like a merge or a swap? Love to hear your thoughts on this, and take care, guys.
Now, Lear, so you were in this exact position where second episode, they're saying, okay, we got to look for somebody, and that you got painted by people as somebody who was not helping in the challenges, even though you and Christian won the first challenge for the Davids, but you were able to avoid Keith's fate. What could Keith have done differently in this situation?
Well, what I did was that, first of all, I had an ally that as soon as my name came up, she told me. And then we look at
Elizabeth,
the people that were,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Elizabeth came right at me, and actually her name came also too. Carl was, I love Carl, but he was throwing names every day. And he said Elizabeth the day before. And I told her, like, Carl is gunning for you. And the next day she was like, oh, now he's gunning you because they say you're weak. And I'm like, but didn't I want the freaking shelter kid with Christian? Like, in what mind? I'm the weakest person here. If anything, like, Gabby, Jessica, and me were more or less equal at challenges. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand why it was me. So what I did is, like, as soon as she told me, we look at other possibilities and talk to people. We talked to Gabby and Christian and then Nick, and we're like, we blame kind of like Jess, and we're like, she's the glue between these people. That's the person that we need to get out because they're going to control this. So we put that idea into their heads, and they just were willing to work with us. And I also told them from the beginning, I told everybody, like, I'm going to be loyal. I know my limitations, but I'm the person you can count on if you work with me. Like, I'm going to be super loyal to you, which I think, and I demonstrate, because I didn't even vote for Nick when he voted for me. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm out of the game and I saw the season and everything is over, I think, like, maybe I should have, I knew Nick was a lawyer from the beginning. As soon as I saw him, I knew he was either a lawyer or a preacher. And
how?
And the way, because of the way he was talking, like, I love crime shows. I love law shows. So I read,
like,
a lot.
Scott,
and I see
Peterson.
A lot. Oh, yeah. I have a feud about that. But I have a lot of feuds on the internet going on right now.
Who are you feuding with? Well, Scott Peterson?
No, I'm not feuding with people. I just think that in this particular case, I feel that the media went out of it. Mm-hmm. And that influenced what was happening. I'm not saying that he's innocent, because I wasn't there.
Yes.
But I am more open to see other possibilities of what happened, mm-hmm. on more evidence. And someone told me, no, we need to kill him. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, what's up with killing people? Like, how can you jump into that conclusion when there's a lot of people on death row that are innocent?
Yes. Which one of this is on Netflix, Lirsa?
No, it's on Hulu. We've been, okay. been watching all of those shows. So now we were on Scott Peterson, but we need a break.
Yeah. No, I was on your Facebook page. So you're talking all about Scott Peterson case.
Yeah, that's a recent one. That's a recent one. Last week was the Menendez brothers. Okay. So we're into that.
I don't mean to distract you from, you were talking about how you knew Nick Wilson was a lawyer.
I did study anthropology. I'm an anthropologist. So even though I was, like, in a corner, I was paying attention to everything that was happening. And I knew, first of all, I knew that David found the idol. And I told Elizabeth, I'm like, day two, David has the idol. She's like, I don't think so. I'm like, he does. Believe me that he does. And even on the pre-merger strip, I told Jessica and B, David has the idol. And they're like, no, he doesn't. I'm like, he has it because I saw him. I never approached him. I never told him, but I knew exactly where he found it and when he found it. And Nick gave me the vibe that he was a lawyer by the way that he was talking. And I should have used that and be like, hey, guys, Nick is probably a lawyer. And you know that you don't want a lawyer at the end with you, and flip things. But I was in an alliance with him. And I didn't betray him. Mm-hmm. I was loyal to him, even if it at the end it cost me the game.
So do you feel like that Keith did not do enough to make the kinds of bonds that you made in the early days of the game?
I think so. Even though he flip on that rainbow, I think the moment you feel like you are an outsider, you need to start bonding with other people and get out of that comfort zone and the people that you think you can trust and start talking to everybody else. Because maybe you are weak on challenges, but you bring other things on the table. I was working around camp all the time. I was catching food for people. I was filling the canteens with water. I was sweeping the floor. Like I made myself useful because I knew that I'm tiny. I'm chunky. I can't run that fast. So I need to let people know that they can use me in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that he should have done that. I feel bad for Keith because, like, I feel really bad when people get blindsided now that I was on that position. Because when you're at home and you're watching the show, you're like, oh, I can do that. Oh, he's stupid. He didn't do this. She didn't do that.
Right.
But when you're there, it's so different. So I felt really bad. Like, he was really not expecting it. And he thought he had a strong alliance and he didn't. So I feel bad.
Lyrsa, we were left with a cliffhanger of, is he going to go to Extinction Island? Do you think that he is going to go there?
If he doesn't go, it's up to him, but I will go.
You will go for him.
I will go for him. Yeah. Just, I will have gone for him because there are so many people that apply to this show, this game. And once you're there, man, you're there. Like, you're seeing Jeff. Like, when I saw Jeff, like, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh my God, this is really happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people want to play this game. And you're given the chance to stay in the game. You should take it. I don't care what's going to happen next. Maybe I'm thrown out, like, with a bunch of wolves. I don't care. I want to keep playing. I want to stay here. I took a lot of time. I went through a lot of things to get here. I'm going to stay here.
Yeah. Lyrsa, do you think that douchebag one is screaming at his TV if Keith doesn't go to Extinction Island?
Oh, yeah. Poor guy. Oh, yeah, definitely. Even my girlfriend is following the show now.
Yes.
And she's like, if he doesn't go, he's stupid. He should go there. I will go there. I'm not playing the game, and I will go there.
Lyrsa, what is the holdup? Why doesn't he just go?
I think that what I was telling Jessica is that I will understand that.
Jessica, your fiance.
Yeah, Jessica, my partner. Like, I was telling her last night after we rewatched the episode, I'm like, I kind of understand if he doesn't want to go because you don't know what's going on. You don't know where you're going to go. And then you were just betrayed by the people that you think you can count on here.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he feels like super bad. He's emotional. He doesn't want to keep doing this because he feels betrayed. He's 18, 19.
Yeah.
So these kind of things really affect you.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like they don't like you. So I think that combining that with, I can go back to Ponderosa and, you know, shower,
mm-hmm.
have food, had a bed. So I can understand that he's sore, but I wouldn't think it. I will keep playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I will go with Reem. It's his game mom.
Yeah.
Go with Reem.
Well, he doesn't know she's there. He didn't think that through yet. Yeah. He thinks maybe that's just for him. But so, okay. Keith, 19-year-old. He's out of the game. Now, Lyrsa, in your season in David versus Goliath, it was also Jessica, not your partner, Jessica Pete, who was voted out second. A lot of people are wondering, is there now a Survivor teenager curse? They always get voted out second.
Maybe. I mean, she didn't tell us her age, and it came up one day because we were talking about brunch. And Gabby and I were like, oh, mimosas. And she was like, oh my God, mimosas, so good. And then she was like, but I don't drink. And I'm like, what? Like, I don't know. I don't.
Excuse me?
Exactly. I'm like, excuse me? Like, you don't drink, but you drink? Like, what's going on here? I just think that maybe because they are younger, they play more with emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not like criticizing them. Like I love jazz. Like I love all my cast. But maybe the age is in a way kind of like, I don't know, makes it more emotional. Like you haven't lived like someone that is 27, 28.
Right.
And you think things like you don't make your decisions that emotional.
Yeah.
And I think that at some points, younger people make more emotional decisions than just let me think and make a smart choice right now.
Right.
And you can get emotional later.
I mean, I would have had no business being on Survivor when I was 19, let alone when I was 24. I do think it's possible that maybe, although he did do all right in the first week, but maybe Keith was in over his head a little bit. I'm not even talking about in the ocean.
Yeah, I kind of laugh a little bit when he was voted out and he's like saying that, oh, you think you're going to win challenges?
Yeah, here,
now?
I have that clip. He said this.
Wow, wow, wow. I don't think y'all are still going to win challenges.
Like, oh my God, honey, I love you, but they had to wait for you because you don't know how to swim. I want to hug him, just so you know. Yeah. I really want to hug Keith. And
he seems like the nicest kid.
Oh, yeah. We talked to each other. Like, we wrote to each other when they came back. And he's super nice. But I don't know. I wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
But probably I would have voted for him. Like, you're weaker than me. So, yeah.
Okay. Now, Lisa, when we started, you said that, you know, your mouth can get you in trouble on Survivor. And that's almost exactly what Reem said going into the game. Did you feel any sympathy for Reem and what she went through in the first week?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I saw her lashing out and I'm like, oh, no, girl, just keep it quiet because you're like me. We say shit and then we regret it. Like, just don't say anything because in this game, like, there's nowhere to hide. And if you say something, like, you're with these people 24/7. So they will hold it against you. Like, if you're like outside of the game and you have a discussion with someone or a disagreement, you just take your time, disappear, and then maybe a couple of days later you can like reconnect and talk about it. You don't have that luxury in the game. So just, I will have stayed quiet.
Yeah. How do you think she's doing on Extinction Island?
I hope that she does great and she doesn't raise that flag and she stays until they can come back to the game because I want to see the faces of the rest of the tribe when she comes back to like a challenge or whatever it is. I think it's
crazy. You, dude.
I thought when we didn't know who was going to be voted out, I'm like, it's going to be so funny if they vote out Kelly.
Yeah.
And then Kelly goes to the, that she wants to continue in the game. And then she meets Reem. Like that's going to be fucking awesome. And then they voted out Keith. But I envisioned that situation in my head. I'm like, oh, that will be great.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite of these four returnees? I know you're a big fan of the show.
I really like Aubrey because I'm like, I see myself in her. So
that would have worked on you.
Oh, definitely. I'm like, yeah, let's be buddies. Like, since she played the first, her first season, I'm like, oh my God, she's awesome. I want to be like her. And I also love Kelly because she's so powerful. Like a powerful character, and she's athletic. She's very smart. She knows how to play the game. And Davey looks so nice. I like them all. So it's
you didn't mention Joe.
Well, I really like Joe, but man, I could have never win anything against him. Like, he's so strong, and he's amazing. He's Joey amazing. Like, he can do everything. So I'm a little bit jealous of the mustache. I want one just like that. But it's not growing. I did laser before getting into the show, so it's not gonna grow ever. But I think that he's such a powerful character too. They are all great returnees. But I don't think they all will get to the end.
No.
If these new players are smart, it's like Wendy said, I love them all, but it's the new players want to play. It's fair for them to say, like, this is my game now. Like, you already play, let me play. Mm-hmm. But I also understand, because I would love to go back, and I understand their situation. Like, they have done this. You really want to win. So I'm torn. But I'm rooting for Kelly. My order is Aubrey, Kelly, David, and then Joe.
Okay, good. Thank you for giving me the rankings. Some people won't do that. Some people say, oh, I don't like rankings. It's arbitrary and reductive.
Well, sometimes I can be arbitrary.
Yes. No, I am all the time, so I appreciate it.
But I like everybody. I'm that person that you really have to be an a-hole for me not to like you.
What about a douchebag? What's better, a-hole or a douchebag?
An a-hole, because a douchebag, I can manage the douchebag. I can ignore you. But an a-hole, like, you really want to be an asshole. You want to really be mean. You're like, no, get out of here. Like, it's this black cloud. That's the difference. An a-hole is a black cloud, and a douchebag, he doesn't know any better.
Okay. Now, if you were one of these new players on this season, and, you know, you easily could have, just like War Dog was in your casting, you could have been out there with these returnees, would you have worked with them, or would you have been somebody who said, hey, this is our time, we're getting rid of the new players?
No, I will have played with them until it was their time to go. Because I want to win. I want to play. But I also, like, I understand once you see them coming in. Like, this is people that if you're a super fan, you have seen play before. You're mesmerized because, oh my God, Aubrey's here. Oh my God, Kelly's here. Like, she's my role model. Like, you're mesmerized by these people that you have watched previous than your season playing. And I would love to make those connections with them, but I'm also, you know, smart enough to say, like, if they go to the end with me, they will probably win because they're fan favorites. Like, everybody loves them. I cannot go to the end with Aubrey. Everybody's going to vote for Aubrey.
Not all the time.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry, girl. But but I will have, like, play with them until a certain point.
Okay. We want to talk about Wendy. I've got some questions for you about Wendy. What do you think about our colorful hair contestant this season?
I think that her hair is awesome. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm all for colorful hair. And I don't want to sound like pretentious, but I also feel that I am new to this Reddit world and the archetypes. I just watched the show. I'm a fan. I didn't follow anything before. I was glued to my TV and that was it. That was my Survivor knowledge and experience, just watching the game. But I feel that I kind of like opened the door for this different archetype.
Yes.
Of like a colorful person. She has tattoos and she can blend with the people. A lot of people thought that I was not going to mesh with other players because I have a different cultural background. I have tattoos, I have piercings, I have different hair color, and the way you look doesn't make who you are. And that's very important. Like, I know that I'm different, but we can be like, we can have things in common. Like, my looks doesn't define who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that her looks do not define who she is. She's a super strong player. She's stronger than me. Like, you saw her, like, playing and swimming. I can't do that shit. But
she was good in the water. Jeff even said.
Yeah, she's really good. She's a really good player. She's an asset. And I really like her hair.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really glad that, even though she got a vote on this tribal, she was not the focus anymore.
Yes. Do you feel like that you being cast, you feel like that you are a somewhat of a game changer, that now we're going to have a Lyrsa or a Wendy on every season?
I think so, because before the game started, like the season started with me, a lot of people were like, kind of like bashing me because of my looks. And I feel that as the game progresses, people open more to the possibility that a person that is different and outside of the box of what we're used to see all the time can mm-hmm. play this game. Going back to that, my looks doesn't define me. Mm-hmm. So I think that we might see more colorful players. I'm not saying that it's all due to me, but I think I could have influenced this new archetype.
Now, when you say colorful players, are you talking about literally?
Well,
like hair?
Well, yeah. Well, aside from the hair, like I'm covered on tattoos. I have the piercing on my nose, which it was funny because a lady made a comment that I look like a white trash bull. And then she tried to add me on Facebook. I'm like, lady, what? Like, are you for real? Like, you just said a bunch of smack about me.
Excuse me?
And then you want to be my friend? I'm like, hell no. I'm sorry, but no. But I'm talking like colorful, like vivacious. Like she has like different hair and tattoos and like, you know.
Yeah. So, you know, looks wise, but also personality wise, colorful.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm very colorful. Like, yes. I don't want to brag about it, but I'm a hoot.
Okay. This is a question for you, Lyrsa. Some of the listeners want to know, this is from Heidi on Twitter, is Wendy's hair blue because she's on the Blue Tribe? Did production ask Lyrsa about her hair and give her instructions on what color it should be when you showed up? And Kristen also wants to know, I'm assuming that this was already covered, but Lyrsa had purple hair and then she ended up on the Purple Tribe. Wendy had blue hair. She's on the Blue Tribe. But you started on the Orange Tribe.
Yeah, no, the hair has nothing to do with where you're placed on the show. I happened to go to this open audition with that color. And mm-hmm. throughout the process of the audition, they cast you in part of what you look. That's the image they have of you. So right. You have to be consistent because they're looking at the person with purple hair. That's the, you know, the first thing they look, your hair is purple. So they don't ask you to change who you are or how you look. I happened to go to an audition and I had purple hair. Probably when she got called, she had her hair that color. Like, even though, like, at some point before going to final auditions, I was talking to my casting producer. And I told her, oh, I'm going to go to the salon to do my hair. I was just retouching the color, but I didn't tell her that. And she's like, you're not going to change the color, right? I'm like, mm-hmm. no, because we casted you with your hair like that, looking like that. So you have to keep it.
Yeah.
So yeah, they didn't put her on the Blue Tribe because her hair is blue. It's not related at all. But okay. it threw Natalie off. When we were at Ponderosa, because I had the purple hair, and she already figured out that she was going to be sort of like a blue tribe or purple tribe. So yeah. She thought I was part of the Goliath, but she was thinking, but she has nothing in common with us. Like, she's tiny and she doesn't look like strong and like she doesn't look like the rest of the people that she was thinking were Goliaths.
Mm-hmm.
So she always told me, you threw me off. Like, I had like no idea what was going on with you.
I got to speak to Natalie recently on the podcast, and I know you listened to that one with our mutual friend, Natalie, and you guys have become friends since the end of the show going on that pre-jury trip, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
So I always like to know, do you have any good stories from traveling with the people that you did from David versus Goliath? People always like to hear about that.
Oh, the trip was amazing. The trip, I was not expecting the trip. So to me, the whole adventure of Survivor was a win-win to me, even though I couldn't win the money at the end, because I was not expecting that. I met amazing people. I went to an amazing country that I had no clue I was going to go. And I had a blast. One day, in Australia, they celebrate Anzac Day, which is like a Memorial Day, but they give homage to the military when they're alive. So we were celebrating Anzac Day and we went to this place and I ordered a pizza. and it had like the chili peppers on the side. And I'm like, oh, this is spicy. I love spicy food. And I ordered it. And this girl was like, do you know that's very spicy? And I look at her with this like, look, bitch, I know. That's why I'm ordering it. I'm like, I know. That's why I wanted it, because it's spicy. And they brought the pizza. And I bit it. And then I thought I was going to die. And all of them, like, Natalia and B, everybody look at me and they're like, are you fine? And I'm like, mm-mm. Because I went dead quiet. And it was because the sauce, aside from having jalapenos, it had ghost peppers. And I had, like, no idea. I thought I was going to die. They brought, like, a bunch of glasses of milk, because milk, like, brings down the hotness of the peppers. Mm-hmm. And that's the first thing I asked for. Like, can you bring in milk? And they look at me like, what? I'm like, yeah, milk. Milk will help me. Milk is going to help this. And I couldn't eat the rest of the day. And every time I see a ghost pepper, I text it to Natalie, and I'm like, look, girl, ghost peppers. And she's like, every time I see a ghost pepper, I think about you. That was very dumb.
It's a ghost.
Yeah.
It was bad, but it was funny. I had a blast. I had a blast. The whole Australia adventure was amazing. And the people at the hotel trying to figure out who we were. It was hilarious.
Why? Did they have a guess of, like, are you guys like some sort of like a rock band?
At the end, they knew who we were, like, what, that we were part of a show. And I talk a lot with the people at the lobby. Like, I became friends with them. You need to make friends in the right positions. And it's always good to have someone at a hotel. You'll get discounts. You'll get a great room. So I befriended them. And every night they were like, so are you from a TV show? And I'm like, nope. Are you from a movie? And I'm like, nope. So I never told them until we came back, because they added me on Facebook. And once we came back, they knew. And they're like, oh my God, we're going to watch you guys. You look so amazing. I'm so happy for you.
Well, that's cool. And you've kept in touch with the people from the hotel?
Oh, yeah. I have them on Instagram. I have them on Facebook. Every time I put something about the trip, any of the pictures, they're like, oh, my God, we miss you so much. You need to come back. We're going to hook you with a great room. So, yeah, I like to make friends everywhere. I like to keep in touch with people. So,
okay. Lirsa, so I have a question for you from Kayamek on Twitter. Steven and I talked about this the other night. The tribes had a choice for the reward. That the reward they could pick was either a deluxe fishing kit or spices. They could have a collection of spices. And Steven and I disagreed on this. Do you have a pick of what the right reward is?
Yeah, it's the spices.
Because there's ghost peppers?
No, because... No, hell no. Because unless you know how to fish and use that gear, it's useless. When the Goliaths won the fishing gear, I was so mad because I wanted to fish. I wanted to throw that net. And then when we swap, I'm at the Goliaths, bitch. And they had the net and everything. And they made a mess out of it. Like, the net was all tangled, and it took me 2 days to untangle it. And when I was done, it had a hole in the middle. They managed to break it. And I'm like, this is useless. So unless you know how to fish, the spices is way better. You at least can give some flavor to your food. You have a knife. So you have more. I think in the end, the spices and the kind of like the cooking gear is way better.
Okay. All right. So speaking of cooking gear, I have you here with us on the podcast. And so I had an idea for a game that I wanted to play with you. And I don't know how it's going to work. So let's see how far that we go with this. But Lirsa, you're here. And I wanted to play a round of a game that I'm calling Survivor Eggs of Extinction.
Okay. Yes.
You're the expert on how to cook the eggs.
Eggs are my thing.
Yes. And you went to culinary school. I'm hoping that if I talk to you about some of the players, you could tell us either what type of egg they are or what type of egg dish they are.
Okay.
In the game.
Okay, let's see. Okay. I'm scared. Let's see.
Okay. All right. Why don't we start off with David Wright? What type of egg are you seeing David Wright as right now in Survivor? Eggs of Extinction.
Sunny Side Up.
Why?
Because I love Sunny Side Up eggs, because once you like pinch the yolk, it just goes down like so slowly and it covers everything. And I think that's the way he's doing it. He's being like soft and trying to cover all his bases and trying to like bring people together, because eggs bring everything together on a dish. So I think he is a sunny side up.
Okay. How about Joey Amazing so far?
Hard boiled egg. He's strong, he's there, like he's committed to it, and yeah, he's the strongest one.
Okay. Yeah. What about Aubrey?
Oh, Aubrey, I love Aubrey with all the talking to everybody as they sit, they put it on the show. I think she's a scrambler. She's scrambling with everybody and talking to everybody and they are noticing. So I love you, Aubrey, but you're the scramble egg right now.
Okay. Anybody else jump out to you as a type of egg?
Not really. This is a very... I was not expecting this.
I wanted to say Survivor Eggs of Extinction, and I didn't know what to do with it. But thank you. You did phenomenal with that, Lyrsa. Let's stay on Aubrey for a minute. Let me give you this question from Amanda on Twitter. She wants to know, should Kama throw the next challenge to get rid of Aubrey before a swap? And hey, Lyrsa, you are the coolest. That's from Amanda on Twitter.
Thank you, Amanda. You never want to throw a challenge unless you know it's going to benefit you on the long run. And I think that throwing now a challenge to get rid of Aubrey wouldn't be a wise decision. Before Carl came into the game, that night that we had previous to that challenge, I spoke with Nick and I told him we should throw the challenge. Mm-hmm. So we can vote Natalie out, because we already knew that Natalie was that friction in the group. And I proposed to him, let's throw the challenge and we'll bring Carl with us and then we'll have numbers here. Mm-hmm. And we won, and everybody was very excited that we won, and I was pretty upset because my plan went to the drain. So unless you have a plan long run that will benefit you, you don't know what's coming. We knew that Carl was going to get into the game, so that the best idea was to throw a challenge, but they don't know yet when the swap is going to happen. And mm-hmm. and I don't know. I won't throw a challenge if I don't know what's going to happen next.
Lyrsa, so that tribe that you were on at Jabini, that ended up being the final three. I think that's so interesting that this group you were in, that you were there with them. And I even remember in that episode when you got voted out that they're talking about like, boy, this is going to be the most important vote of the entire game, because and it really did turn out to be a big deal, because those three people ended up going on to be the final three that you were with. And I asked this question to Natalie, but I'd love to get your answer to it. Randy Newpool wants to know, as someone who was on a tribe with the eventual final three, were you surprised to see how your season ended up playing out? And I want to know, who would you have voted for?
I was surprised that, in a good way, that they were the final three. And then I was like, God damn, that could have been me. Mm-hmm. Fuck that. But I think they played well and they stuck together until the end. And that's something that you should, it's commendable, you know, even though they could have many options. And if I was at the tribal, a jury, and those were the final three, I would have probably voted for Mike.
Voted for Mike?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to like bash Nick at all or anything, but I feel that I had more of a connection with Mike, mm-hmm. just because we're both like from the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. But Mike was hilarious. And in a way, he got me. We kind of have like that kind of like dark sense of humor. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the Emoji movie, so I don't know anything about that, by the way.
We're not talking about that, Lyrsa.
But I would have voted for Mike because he came being the David of the Goliaths. Mm-hmm. And he stuck all the way to the end, and he made great moves. Like, I feel that he was most of the time controlling what was happening without people kind of noticing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think his game developed really great, and you were not thinking that Mike was going to get that far, and then he made a final three, and mm-hmm. I would have voted for Mike probably.
Okay. Nathan wants to know, how upset would you have been if you had given Angelina your jacket when you got voted out, only to learn that you were actually going to go to the edge of extinction?
Oh, that will have never happened, because I will have never given my jacket away. Like, I'm sorry, but no, I'm taking my jacket with me forever. It's my jacket.
What if? Okay, so let's maybe change the scenario.
I understand the question. I will have been pissed.
Yeah.
If I would have given her the jacket or anybody else my clothing, and then I go to extinction, I'm like, I was so stupid. Now I'm cold.
Mm-hmm.
So on that situation, yeah, I would have been pretty angry. But on reality, I would have never given my jacket.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
How much of the jacket plan did you know ahead of time?
I knew I was doing one of my confessionals. And when I came back, Nick told me they want to vote you out because they want to keep your jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And what I told him, I think we made on the episode, I said, like, are you fucking kidding me? That was my reaction. And that's when then he told me that they hide it, apparently. And then, which, if you hide it, I wasn't there because I was at the do you think I'm going to be that dumb that be like, oh, where did my jacket go? Okay, I'm going to ignore the fact that my clothing is not here. Mm-hmm. I knew from the beginning what was going on. He told me what was happening, and I told him. I even voted, when I voted for Natalie, and I said my final words to her, I said, I ate my egg, and I'm keeping my jacket. And I voted for her, and now I feel really bad about everything with Natalie.
Mm-hmm.
She's a really nice person and hilarious, and I love Natalie. But I knew, which it didn't make sense to me because everybody had jackets. So I never understood why they wanted the jacket, because Angelina had a sweater and Natalie had a sweater. Everybody had a sweater. So mm-hmm. I don't know why this thing of keeping people's clothing. and you're getting all dirty and you have BO and then you're gonna pass a dirty clothing to someone, like, that's nasty. No.
Okay. I want to ask you about Ron Clark was working on a big dance number. Aubrey did not really love it. Let me play you. This was Aubrey talking about Ron's dance.
I like going to Tribal first when I play Survivor because you see immediately where the lines are. You know how to work with it. When it's Kumbaya and everybody's, ugh, I just won the first challenge.
I like when Aubrey says, ugh.
Yeah. No, I get her. When you don't have to go to Tribal, everybody's dancing, everybody's singing, everybody's happy, you're making plans, you're dreaming about stuff, and you're like, you know, in a cloud. But mm-hmm. when you go to Tribal, it's when reality comes up and you know who was doing the fake dance with you and who wasn't.
Okay. Now, first off, did you like Ron's dance?
Oh, it was hilarious. I would have danced with him too. It was a great dance.
And did anybody do any dances in David versus Goliath?
No, but we made songs.
What kind of songs? Christian, like the wand off?
Kind of. I can't remember exactly how the lyrics were, but Christian knows because it was raining so much that we started making up songs about rain. And after the game was done, it was raining in Tallahassee where he is. And then he wrote me like, it's raining. And I started to sing our song with the rain and everything. I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. So you killed time. Like, they were dancing. We were making up songs and making fun of the Goliaths in a way. Mm-hmm. And the mayor of Slamtown, I think, you know, that we're trying to, like, take over Slamtown and planning how we're going to, like, defeat the mayor of Slamtown.
Yes.
So on your day off or on your time off that you're not actually thinking about the game, but you are in the back of your head, you sing, you dance, you nap, you try to make fish traps or crab traps, and then Elizabeth leaves you and you don't know what to do. It happens.
Okay. Let me play a clip for you about Ron's advantage or a question. This is from Jason.
Hey, Robin Learsa. This is Jason Weatherholtz from Maryland. I want to talk about Ron's advantage. So if he doesn't use it next week, it's dead, right? Wrong. It's not dead. I have an idea. I went back, I looked at the footage, and sure enough, the disclaimer about having to use it by the third week is at the very, very bottom. He could very tactfully tear that part off, make all the sides look the same. All of a sudden, he's got this powerful advantage in the game. It's really not an advantage. It's worthless, but he could make it seem like one. He could say, hey, the producers told me it's good through the final five, whatever. He's got something that he could potentially use later in the game to his advantage. What do you guys think?
Okay, Learsa. Do you think Ron could get away with tearing the bottom of the instructions off on his idle menu?
I didn't thought of that, but that is pretty smart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally, because it loses its value, but nobody else knows what's going on. It's like having a fake idol. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows, and he can, like, you know, tell to people, I have this advantage. We can use it during the game in another moment, and they don't know it's crap and it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So I'm speechless. I never thought of that. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, it is a good idea. I don't know if they would let them get away with it. I feel like that, you know, we have like situations where Tony had the Tyler Perry idol and then it was only good through five, but then he told everybody that it was good through four and they let him do that. But then also you have situations like in Game Changers when we saw where, you know, Suri was trying to use Sarah Lacina's, you know, vote steal. But then the fine print said that she couldn't do that. Yeah. And it's not like if like Suri would have ripped off the part where it said it's non-transferable, I don't think they would have just let her transfer it. So no, who knows?
I understand that part. And I'm not visualizing this as him using that with like production. I'm thinking him using that as in like a personal moment with someone.
Okay. All right. So you're saying that it's a different thing if you're just like using it to get somebody to do something as opposed to actually try to play it.
That's
interesting. Because yeah, in those other situations, that's the person trying to play it. Could he try to pass it off? And would they let that fly? It's a good question. I don't know.
They're not going to let that fly. They're the producers. They know what's valid and what's not.
But sure. No, I didn't mean to say that he could trick the show by if he rips that off, then they'll be able to use it later on. But would a producer shut it down if he was saying like, hey, Joey Amazing, I'll make a deal with you to like keep me around to the final three and you can have this advantage menu. Would they let him do that? I'm not sure.
No, I don't think they would let him do that. Yeah.
But they let Tony say, hey, this thing, you know, I can use this to the final four.
I think that if he uses to like deceive people instead of like really using it, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Might be a case by case thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's
a good idea. Yeah. Let me give you this question. This is from Dylan from Brisbane. Now, that's not where the hotel was, right? This isn't your friend?
Yeah, it was. We were in Chris Vegas. Yeah.
Is this Dylan? Did Dylan work at the hotel?
No. He didn't work at the hotel. Like, I didn't talk to people that weren't outside from the group, except from the hotel people, but he wasn't working there.
Okay. All right. Here's Dylan.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Lisa. Dylan from Brisbane calling. So I've got a question. David's alliance with Rick Devons, where he says, oh, you can go to the final four and vote me out then. Surely David knows exactly what he's doing in this, in that final four is the fire making challenge now. And we all know that David Wright is pretty good when it comes to making fire. We've heard this in various interviews with castaways who've played with him before. So surely David is setting this up really, really nicely for himself, hoping that these newbies don't really know what they're doing. Do you think that's the case? Do you think that David's trying to play the long game here? Would love to hear thoughts. Thanks. Bye.
Lyrsa, is it possible that David Wright pulled a real fast one on Rick in this episode?
I would be fine going all the way to the end with you. I shouldn't even be telling you this, but I mean, like, you know, you could, like, bring me along and then cut my throat at 4 or 5, whatever. I'm just telling you.
All right, let's shake on that. I'll cut your throat at 4.
Yeah, I shouldn't even be saying anything, but I mean, if you want to vote me out at 4, that's, you know, whatever. That's fine. I don't even care.
I think by now, everybody, they film after we did, so I think they already know that a final
So I think that they must have, they saw Ghost Island.
Yeah, they saw it. So they know that there's a fire challenge at the end, but I don't know if they know that David knows how to make fire. So he's definitely playing him. It's definitely, I like their bromas, but I think that he's playing him, and David is just securing his longevity on the game.
Yeah.
And I think that he's very smart, and we all will tell whatever we want to say to stay in the game. But specifically in this case, David has been there before. So he has more knowledge of the game. He has played it before. Devons hasn't. So I think that he's using that as an advantage also. Like, you don't know. You saw something of me on my season, but I have a couple of years to better myself and stuff. And I know that the fire is at the end, and I maybe didn't make any fire on my season, but now I know how to do it.
I didn't catch that when I watched the episode the other night, that Dave was in, like, hey, you can just take me to the final four, whatever. Vote me out then. Did you pick up on that David was just saying, like, hey, just get me there where I can make this stupid fire?
No. I oversee that one. Yeah. I didn't see that one.
Allegedly, David Wright is very good at making the fire.
Yeah, he said that he can make fire in less than 20 seconds or something like that. That's really good timing and good for him, because I practiced that shit a lot and I couldn't get it going.
You practiced it at home before you went?
Well, yeah, but it was winter here, so there was nothing to lit up unless it was paper. And I bought myself a flint and I did practice a lot, but the weather was obviously not helping me.
Right. Lyrsa, I have another question for you about your prep for Survivor. Okay. This is a question from one of our listeners, John.
Hey, Robin, Lyrsa, this is John. And first one out, before David versus Goliath, Lyrsa mentioned to Josh Wiggler that she had a pretty big fear of lizards and frogs and snakes, so much so that she mentioned that she actually went to some pet stores before being on the show to try and get over that fear. Does she have any stories of animal encounters on the show, or did it help her get over her fear, or did this week's immunity challenge really trigger that fear? Thanks.
Okay. Lyrsa, is this accurate? You have a big fear of frogs?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It is true. That is all true. I went to Petco every week. I wasn't kidding. That happened. You can ask Jess. It happened. She took me to Petco and she was like, baby, you have to do it. You have to look at them because you're going to see them over there. And you cannot let these people know you're afraid of them, because that will put a target on you. They will think you're weak because you're afraid of a freaking frog. So you need to look at it. And I have two funny stories. When we were at pregame, one guy, the one that left, and they brought Davey for him. We're going back to Tent City. And you know that you can't talk to each other. We're like living together. We're eating together, but we cannot talk. So this guy, bless his heart, was walking right in front of me. And in that area in Tent City, after the sun comes down, a bunch of frogs come out. And I was so scared of them all the time. I cannot show my weakness. So we were walking, and a frog jumps on his feet, and he started screaming like a baby. He's like, ah! And I look at him, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm not the only one. This is amazing. He's going to be my friend. We're going to bond over this. And then he was gone. Then he wasn't there. And one day, David used to go try to catch lizards to use as bait. And one day he had a lizard, and I had already told him, like, I'm scared of lizards. Like, I can deal with that. I will eat anything here, but I will never eat a lizard. I'm scared of them. And he had a lizard that he cast for bait, and supposedly it was dead. It looked dead. Touch it. So you can completely overcome your fear. If you touch it, it's going to be great. You're going to get over it. And I'm sitting, it's Davey, B, and myself. And I touched the lizard, and that asshole was still alive and started jumping on me. And I screamed, I threw it away. I think I punched Davey, and I told him, like, don't you ever do that to me. You're a liar. Like, that shit was going to eat me. And it was hilarious. Like, I'm so scared of any kind of like reptiles and or like anything like that, that in Puerto Rico, we have a lot of like tiny frogs that are called coquis. They have it also in Hawaii. And my parents' house is like right near a farm. So we have like a lot of wildlife going on. And when I was a kid, I spent like a week without showering because there was a coqui in the tub and I will not shower. And then like 5 days later, my mom is like, why are you showering? Like, there's a coqui in the bathroom. Can you get it out? And she's like, you haven't been taking showers just because of the tiny, because they're super tiny. They're not bigger than a quarter. That's the size. That's how scared I am that I keep showering for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Because of tiny frogs.
What did you say at Petco when you went there?
Oh, they have these displays. You don't have to say anything. We'll go to kickboxing class, and there was a Petco like on our way back home, and we'll always stop there, and she will just roam around the store, and I will like stand right in front of the reptile area and just try to look at them.
Mm-hmm.
Just to overcome the fear that they didn't know, because there's a couple of pet shops around, so we will go to different ones every day.
Okay. And so you got to, have a run-in with a reptile, courtesy of Davey.
Yeah.
Now, did you see this news this week about animal lover Davey? Did you see this, Lyrsa?
What news? That he got the SIA Award?
Yes, out of nowhere.
I know. I was expecting one of the gays of the show to get it because usually she gave it to the gays.
Yeah, I think maybe a lot of people don't know this, but that this week it was announced EW had the story that Davey Rickenbacker of Survivor David versus Goliath got the SIA money. According to this article, Davey said, I received so many messages privately about how straying away from my faith motivated strangers to do the same, and he never expected that kind of response. A week after the finale, Davey says he got an odd message from an email address that seemed like spam, and it read, Hi Davey, I really admired your spirit and was moved by your faith, and so I wanted to give you this gift. I'm sorry you didn't win. You were my choice to win. I love you. Keep going. And Davey was the one that got the $14,000 SIA money.
I know. I'm so happy for Davey because you know what?
And I'm like, oh!
Davey is hilarious. I really I told Davey a bunch of shit at night, especially things going on with my girlfriend. Like, he knew a bunch of things, how we, like, met and how we proposed and all of that. And I'm so happy he got that money, because I know that, not that I'm saying that the rest of us is not going to put good use to that money, but I think he's going to enjoy and help his family. And I love Davey and his mom. His mom is awesome. He's so nice and so sweet. So I'm really proud that Davey got it. Like, it's awesome.
Okay. Sia wasn't mad that he killed that octopus?
Well, that was a blessing sent by God. So I don't think she's mad.
Okay.
We were expecting to get any food for days, and and the ocean brought that octopus and we ate. So yeah.
Yeah. But aren't you an animal lover, Lyrsa?
I like animals. I like animals except like frogs and lizards. And I got really a little bit upset because on pregame, Mike told Josh that he was scared of me because I was reading a BTK book and that I was mean to a stray dog. And the stray dog had like, we call it in Spanish, sarna. Like, he had, like, you know, crusty skin, and they were all petting this dog that was dirty, and you don't know what this dog has. And also, long-haired dogs I'm allergic to, and the dog came to me, I'm like, you're barking at the wrong person. And he got very impressionable with that, but I have a dog, I have cats, I love animals.
Yeah.
I just don't like frogs and lizards.
Now, Lyrsa, I have a caller on the line who is actually upset with you, that he says he's happy that you didn't get the Sia money. Can I patch the caller in?
Sure.
Hi, caller Lyrsa. I am a avid member of the frog community, and I am very happy that you did not win the Sia money, because you are very anti-frog, and I feel like that I'm glad that the money went to somebody like Davey, who is a proponent of the reptile and amphibian community.
Well, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I do respect all animal life. I won't touch any frogs. Like, no, but I respect you. And it's fine. I'm not $100 bill to be liked by everybody. It's fine.
I don't know where you get off, Lyrsa, that I wish that you would have a message of acceptance of amphibians. And I don't appreciate where you're coming from.
There's nothing I can do there, man. I'm being honest with you. Like, I don't dislike you, but I don't want you near me. So it's
well, we can't, I've got a real problem with you, Lyrsa. And by the way, will you add me on Facebook?
Oh, hell no.
All right. Hell, we gotta go. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, caller. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh,
okay. All right. Lyrsa, talk to me about some of these other new players that we haven't really seen a ton of this season. What about on the tribe that has Aubrey and Joe on it? We saw Victoria and Julia talking with Aubrey, and they were sort of selling her a bill of goods about how that they would want to potentially work with her. But then in private, they were talking with Ron about how they want nothing to do with Aubrey.
I feel bad for Aubrey. I like her. I can play with her. I'll play with her like Gabby wanted Christian to play with her. I like
in the sand.
Yeah, in the sand. I like Victoria because she's half Puerto Rican, so I'm biased with her. And I love her red hair because I always wanted to have a kid with red hair. It's never going to happen. But I understand what she's saying, and it's a very smart thing to do. What was the question again? I got so
invested. No, we're just talking about some of the new players. Anybody that speaks to you.
I like Victoria, aside from being half Puerto Rican, because I think she has a clear mind of what's going on and who is a possible threat at the end, and how Aubrey is kind of like playing everybody. I understand where Aubrey is coming from. She really wants to stay in the game, and not being seen as a threat. I want to see more of Julia because I haven't seen that much of her. And I think she's a very smart lady. I mean, she's going to pre-med. You have to be very smart. And I also like Ron. I think that he's super energetic. I don't know a lot about Julie. I know about the bird that dived right behind her.
Yes. You like that.
Oh, yeah. I had to rewatch it like 5 times because I'm like, oh, my God, that is so funny. But also she was saying something that's very true about females and like they're just stuck in there. They're not moving. They're not trying to find idols when the guys are outside doing it and trying to find idols. So she knows the game. She knows how to play it. But I would like to see more of her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that was very interesting that a lot of the stuff that we started hearing about during David versus Goliath about women finding the idols as opposed to where that there were she was talking with Victoria about, hey, like, well, what should we what should we do? Let's stop talking about it. Let's go find the idol.
Yeah, I think it's resonating more because now nowadays people are noticing that gender bias that there is and how usually or most of the time when you're a girl, you're expected to do girly stuff and stay home and cook and do all that and not go outside and venture like the guys do. So I think it's resonating more and women are more aware that we can also go out there and hunt and do whatever the guys are doing. Like gender doesn't really relate to whatever you are doing with your life. I think that gender perspective is very important nowadays. And we should teach all the girls that they can go out and get idols. And we can teach the boys that they can stay at the tribe and start cooking their rice too. Carl Gray made amazing rice. Carl's rice was the best rice.
What was his secret?
I don't know what it was, man, but it was delicious. And then the burnt rice, it was so good. We will fight for the burnt rice of Carl because it was freaking great. It was amazing.
Okay. Did you look for the idol, Lyrsa?
I did. Hell yeah. I did, okay. Especially even knowing that Davey had it. I'm like, let me see if for like the grace of the universe, there's two. It never happens, but let me see. And before we went to the first tribal and I had that conversation with Gabby and Christian and Nick, I dig everywhere. I went everywhere. I was looking and I was just saying, I don't want to look stupid. And they had me on the show trying to find an idol and they already know that somebody else has it. Like I don't want to be portrayed that stupid like this girl, but you go out and you try to find it. That's life. You don't know what's going to happen. You are meshing with someone one day and the next day you don't know what's going to happen. And I learned that over there while playing. Every day you should take it as a new day and not let what happened before affect your new day.
Lyrsa, what about Aurora? We haven't seen a ton from Aurora so far this season.
I think she's super strong and she is very outspoken. Sometimes that can get you into a little bit of trouble if you say it like it is. And I know that she has that type of personality, but I'm also rooting for her. Like I stick to the gays. They're my people. So I'm also rooting for her.
Lyrsa, that I feel like that lesbians have been very underrepresented through 38 seasons of Survivor.
Yes, we have been. That's one of the lines I use on my video. Like, you need more lesbians. And I'm here.
Pick yeah.
Me. Yeah. I don't know why. I think that gay guys probably are more spoken about their sexuality and females tend to be more quiet about that because that's what society teaches, you know, like women should keep their shit together and, you know, keep it quiet. And I think that's one of the factors that has affected or like not released probably if someone is a lesbian or not. I think there must be more of us and they don't have to say. You don't have to say who you sleep with if you're not comfortable or if you don't want it out. But there must be more lesbians that have played the game. Shout out to me.
So you, Yeah, so you feel like that there are probably more lesbians who have played Survivor that we don't even know about, because that there's a lot of women who are lesbians and they don't feel comfortable announcing it.
I don't think that they don't feel comfortable. I think that they just probably feel that they don't have to share that. You don't have to tell people who you sleep with. That's mm-hmm. nobody else's business. And especially when you go on a show that it's going to be, you know, it's going to roll everywhere. The whole world is going to see this at some point. And sometimes people don't feel comfortable disclosing that. I got bullied a lot one night and people call me dyke. And I'm like, tell me something I don't know. Like, you're not offending me.
Where did this happen? On Survivor?
Yeah, the night we voted Natalie out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People in your tribe were saying this?
No, people on Instagram, they added me.
Oh, okay.
Jessica,
I was like, tell me who said that. I'll fight them, Lyrsa.
No, that's what, I can fight them. No, nobody on the cast said anything.
So the fans were using homophobic slurs against you on Instagram.
Yes, Natalie stans were, and they were saying a bunch of shit. And I'm like, tell me something I don't know. Like, you're not offending me. I'm worried about you. They were like, you're fat. And I'm like, shit, didn't I notice? Like, I put my clothing on every day. I know how much I weigh. I know I'm not skinny. You're a dyke. Yes, I am. Tell me something. Mm-hmm. I will be more offended if you think I'm straight. Nothing against straight people, but like, why? Tell me something I don't know.
So what did you do, Lyrsa?
Oh, that day with that situation?
Yeah.
Oh, we tried to leave the group, but Instagram have something weird that even if you leave a group, somebody
what
else
group?
Can
What group are you in?
Direct messages.
Okay.
They created chat rooms. That I didn't even know that you could do that.
I don't know you could do this.
Yeah, you can invite a bunch of people and start like a chat group. And you add people that you're following. And these people add me and they add Jess too on this. And they were saying that she looked like an anorexic emo girl. And she's like, I feel flatter. They think I'm skinny, and yeah, I'm emo, so they were not offending us.
Jess, your partner, or Jessica Pete?
No, okay. Jess, my partner, and they brought Nick too. And they were saying a bunch of smack about Nick. And what upset me was not that they were like saying stuff about us or bringing us back to the chat. Is that I had to wake up the next day at 6 a.m, and it was still 3 a.m. And they kept adding us and writing us. And I cannot turn my phone off. My parents are elderly. And I don't know if something's going to happen. And I need to have my phone next to me in case they call.
Could you turn off the notifications?
I try, but I told you, I'm technically...
You should delete Instagram off your phone.
Hell no.
No, you need it.
I need it. I have too many pictures that I really like, and I like my Instagram.
But I think you could put the app back and then log in.
Yeah, I've been thinking lately of like shutting down some of my social media because I feel that they get so into this state of mind that this is a TV show and we're out there and you can say or do whatever with our persona, and they forget that we are people just like you. Just because we decided to go public, it doesn't mean that you can trash us.
Yeah. See, I don't know what it's like. I people like, oh, your podcast stinks, or like, you know, get a hold of yourself, or you. So I get stuff like that. But you know, I don't get like inundated with with hate like that.
No, people hate, and I think it's the fact that you don't know who these people are. You're hiding behind a computer, and you can say whatever you want. I bet you that if they see me, they wouldn't say any of this. And that's fine, but I don't care that much. But sometimes, you know, it brings you down. You're like, why are there? They don't know me. They just see like a very tiny percentage of who I am on a show that is edited. And I am not blaming my edit. I love my edit, but you really don't know who I am. You don't know if someone that you're talking crap about is having a really bad day. And then you say all of this and it can bring down that person even more.
Yeah. I remember when Natalie got voted out. I remember you going on social media and saying like, hey, I love Natalie. Natalie is great.
Yeah, they went on my pictures and they started like trashing Natalie. And I'm like, no. Like I opened my Instagram while I became part of the show because I wanted to connect with the fans through Instagram. My Facebook is private. I don't add anybody that I don't know just because of the fact, not that I'm trying to be a bitch, but Facebook, I have family there. I have picture of my family. I have my friends and they didn't sign up for this. I did. And I think I should respect the privacy of my family and friends. So Instagram, Twitter, that's open. I really don't care about that. But also don't go into my social media and trash other people because okay. I don't do that.
All right. But I do go into your social media because I have to look at what you're talking about to do the podcast, Lirsa. But I'm just observing. And I see that you were talking to Bryce, my good friend Bryce, about this episode.
I love
and
Bryce.
That Bryce was talking about that he was so happy that this episode, when he watched it on his 4K Ultra HD TV. And you responded to him and you said to him, I told Jess to be attentive to the episode. She was very surprised too, LOL. But I didn't understand what you guys are talking about.
All I'm going to say is that thing is big. That thing, like, oh my God, Rob, why are you doing this to me? I told you I don't have any filter and my mouth gets me into trouble. I really don't like men. I don't like men. We all know this. I'm a dyke. Some people were calling me, but I am a very impressionable person. And that thing is big. This
creep, is one heavy snake.
Yes, he's been blessed. He's been blessed and good for him. I don't want to be near that, but yeah. And when I told Jess, I'm like, Bryce tweeted this, you should really pay attention to the episode. And she's like, I'm not seeing anything. And I'm like, wait for it. And when it came out, she's like, oh my God. Whoa. So bless Chris.
Honor has 3/4 of their snake out.
Yeah, that snake was big. Yeah,
It takes all 8 tribe members to carry that snake. It is heavy.
I will have to agree with that. Also, I really like all the challenges that are in. I have a very dirty mind. I really love all the challenges that involve balls because I really love and crack up when Jeff says anything about balls. And
me too, Lirsa.
It's the best. Those are the best challenges. I love ball challenges. I'm upset that I didn't get to be on a ball challenge. I wanted to listen Jeff say, Lirsa's balls are dropping. And it never happened.
Excuse me?
Lirsa, okay. So, why are you fighting with Citizens Bank?
Oh, mira. Let me tell you something. I have shit to pay. And I pay through my phone. And lately, every single month, they have an issue with their app. The whole day, like, and you know what? It's not that it's on a random day. It's on the first day of the month that you have to pay everything and your app is not working. That's so disrespectful. I love to fight with people like on the internet. It was one of my biggest hobbies before going to the show.
What was?
Oh, fighting with random people on the internet. Like, okay,
not fighting with Citizens Bank.
No. In general, I would love to discuss people's point of view and refute them. And my friends laugh all the time because we all follow, like, the news media on from PR, and I will comment on every single thing that they will post on Facebook, and then they will like it or laugh or comment on it. But I had to stop doing that when I went into the show because I didn't want people to think that I was just fighting like a crazy person. I'm a crazy person, but I'm behaving now, and I drop it. I had to drop it. I really miss going into social media and start telling you, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about.
Who would you do this with? Other people or like celebrities?
No, you respect the celebrities. They're putting like themselves out there, and we have a lot of fun seeing them on TV.
Yes.
So it's just random people that will like come and like stuff. Like when Hurricane Maria happened in PR, President Trump went and threw like paper towels.
You did that made you angry.
Hell yeah. Like, I don't eat sandwiches made out of like paper towel. That's useless to me.
Right.
And seeing people like being like so pro this thing, I'm like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. We need food. We don't need like paper towel.
Mm-hmm. So, but you don't get into political arguments on social media now, or you still do?
No, I don't comment on any. I try not to comment on anything political because I know that is a sensitive subject. And usually back in PR, on our culture, I don't know if it's the same here. There's some stuff that you don't talk about with public, and that's religion and politics. And I love talking about those things, but I don't talk it openly because I know that some people get really, really passionate and offended.
Yes. I don't have those types of conversations on social media either, because I feel like that in over, 280 characters, I think it's very hard to, have a conversation where you can convince anybody of anything when it's just over social media.
That's what I don't like about Twitter. Like, I was having this argument with like the Scott Peterson case with someone, and I was like trying to like reply like, god damn it, I can't express myself. I want to like go in, and you have to like send so many messages to just
you need
like
the podcast.
Yeah. We were thinking about it. And
what are you going to podcast about? Serial killers?
Well, there's so many serial killers on podcasts out there that I don't know. Even though Jess and I are very savvy on our serial killers, we don't know anything about math. But tell me, ask me something about, I don't know, Dahmer. And I can answer
Jeffrey
you something.
Dahmer.
About, yeah, Dahmer. Crazy dude. But I think it's saturated. That gender is saturated. So we were thinking more of something target to the LGBTQ community, sharing experiences. I used to listen to a podcast a while ago called Two Homos, and they're not bringing any more content out. And I really like the way, like, it's storytelling, because I really like storytelling. So we're thinking about going through that road.
And you would do something like that with your partner?
Oh yeah, it's gonna be Jess and I. We're thinking like bringing some of our friends, and like we have a couple of like weird straight friends, and we would like to like bring out like something like coming out and get their impressions on coming out, and people, how difficult it was to come out. Like, when I came out, it was super hard. And obviously time has passed and people are more open to this. But I had it really bad when I came out.
Can you tell us what that was like?
I think aside from the Latino culture, in which the guys have to be very macho and the girls have to be very straight, we have a saying, a lot of people back in PR said that they will prefer their daughters to become whores than to become a lesbian. I had cousins that they will tell me that about their daughters. I will prefer her to be a hoe than to be a lesbian, not knowing that I was a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that part of the it's the culture. And now it's so open that there's diversity. And it doesn't mean, like, regardless of who you sleep with, that doesn't make you a good or a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot generalize because you met like some gay dude or some lesbian that was wacko. Like, I think now it's more open, and we are in a more healthy space, that when I see kids that are 14, 15, and they're like, I'm a lesbian, I'm gay, I'm like, oh, honey, really? Like, I wish at your age I was so confident and so supported. Like, my mom, I love my mom, but when I told my mom I was a lesbian, she sent me to a psychiatrist to talk about this. And then when I finished my shot, the doctor told me, you don't have any problem. You know who you are. Your mom is the one with the problem. She needs the help, not you. And
you were lucky that you went to somebody that was, you know, understood everything.
Yeah, and I think it comes from the Hispanic culture. Like, everybody has someone or knows someone that's gay, but you don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's more open. Like, I feel so happy for the people that are coming out now, because you can be so comfortable on who you are now. And yes, there's still bashing, there's still homophobia. That's never going to go away. But now there's more acceptance.
Yeah. And I think that that's one of the things that I love about Survivor, is that you get to see, you know, real people, and that there are lots of kids who watch the show who, and people all over the country and the world, who get to see people that are very different from how they are. And you get to see them in a way that, you know, like, at first you see them and they're different, but then you come to understand and learn about them as people, and you end up learning about a lot of different types of people.
Yeah, and if you see someone that it's like, you, like, if you can become not a role model, but if some little girl sees me on the show and she knows that she's a lesbian and she's afraid, or like she's scared and she's scared of rejection, and she sees me and she sees how open I am and that it's okay to be their friend, I think that makes a change, you know, of being a positive role in that sense, that it's okay to be gay, it's okay to be whatever you want to be. It doesn't just relegate to the gay issue. Like, we're all people, and if you can identify with someone and see that, oh my god, there's someone else out there that is like me, I think that's a huge impact on people.
Okay. Lirsa, that's really great stuff. And thank you for sharing all that.
Oh, yeah. Anytime.
Lirsa, let me see. What else is going on that I feel like that we haven't talked a ton about the game, but it's only the second week. There's not that much going on yet, right?
Yeah, especially with like 1 hour episode, we didn't see the development of what was going on, like on my season, that it was like 1.5 hours and you got more familiarized with everybody.
Yeah.
So, but I think this is going to be a great season. There's great characters on the season.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah. And everybody's like, when the theme came out, same as with David and Goliath, and at the end, everybody loved our season. Well, most of the people love our season. A lot of people were apprehensive, and they're like, oh, that twist. What about that twist? That twist is not good. I think the twist is good. It's something different. And we have to evolve the game. We're not 10 years ago. Society changes, games changes, everything evolves. So I think this is a good thing.
Okay. Lirsa, do you know anything about Pokemon?
I do. I don't
you
play
do.
It anymore because...
Okay. Because I got a Pokemon question for you. And I'm like, okay, what is Lirsa a Pokemon fan? Why is this guy calling up and asking about Pokemon?
Okay.
Okay. This is Adam.
Hey, Robin, the punk rock lesbian. This is Adam from Minneapolis. With the recent announcement of Pokemon Sword and Shield, I'm wondering if Lirsa can tell us which Pokemon best represents each of the returnees this season. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh.
Does that mean anything to you, Lirsa?
Yes and no. I wish I knew more about Pokemon, but I just know the basics. I know who Pikachu is, so I cannot. I wish I could answer that, but I can't. I'm so sorry.
Okay. All right, here, I got another question. This is Karen called in while we were on the line.
Hi, Rob and Lyrsa. This is Karen from the Love You Bay Area. Lyrsa, I loved watching you play last season, and I thought you'd be a good person to ask about food because I'm always curious about that. You know, we see eating rice and coconuts and fish, but I imagine there's more than that that people eat, the roots, or, and I don't know if there's greens or fish or bugs. So I just wondered what people are eating and what they need to keep in mind to get maybe some reasonable nutrition. And when you look at Extinction Island, do you think of, you know, are those things there, or does that look like a particularly challenging place to find those things? Thanks so much for your thoughts.
Lyrsa, so can you tell us and all the future Survivor players, what else can you eat in Fiji?
Before I went on the show, I knew that it was going to be on Fiji because they renewed the contract with Fiji. So what I did is that I went and explored what type of roots, fruits, vegetables, and proteins they had available. There is roots. There's cassava there. It's hard to find because they're not going to put you in an island with a bunch of food. Let's be honest. Part of the game is starve. But there's breadfruit. There are plantains over there. I really wanted to eat breadfruit with fish. I found like a really tiny breadfruit that I couldn't give.
Breadfruit?
Yes. Back at home, you can like, you open the breadfruit and you peel it, you cut it, and you can either boil it, you can make estones.
Yeah, grapefruit?
Breadfruit.
Breadfruit, like Brett LaBelle?
Yeah. Well, no, bread.
Like a loaf of bread.
Yes.
Like a loaf of bread. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of like a root, but it grows in a tree and you can either boil it or you can make tostones. And I only dream about like finding breadfruit and make tostones with crabs. Never got, I found one and it was really tiny. But if you know where you are going, like I did, you just need to do the research of what is available. For example, I knew that if you put salt water on the rice and use like water from the well, you don't need the spices because you can spice the rice with the water. And food is knowledge, and food is the way you can, aside from communicate to people, you share emotions through food. So to me, the eggs were super important aside from the protein. And it became such a big thing that I'm getting an egg soldier tattoo. I'm going to keep adding to my survivor sleeve. So I'm probably going to do an egg soldier tattoo.
An egg soldier?
Yeah, with an egg. Do you know what an egg soldier is?
No. What is an egg soldier, Lyrsa?
An egg soldier is kind of like a vase in which you put your hard boil, your like it's super fancy. I don't have one of those, but I saw a picture on the internet. I was looking at pictures of eggs, call me crazy. And I saw it and it looks so beautiful. I'm like, oh my God, I want this. And that's the next tattoo, the egg soldier tattoo.
Okay. Wow. That's impressive.
I know that my tattoos are random. I just like weird stuff and put it on my skin.
Okay. Lyrsa, who is going to win Survivor Edge, not Eggs of Extinction?
Oh my God. We're so early in the game, but I feel that Chris has a really good chance to win.
Yes.
I also think that Aurora has a good chance if she doesn't fight a lot with people. Because not fight, but like say a lot to people. Sometimes people don't get happy emotions when you tell it like it is. And she said that she tells it like it is. But I think she's a strong competitor. And from the females, the new players, I like her and I like Victoria too. And what's her name? I forgot her name. The brunette that it's in all with Kelly, and she found the idol. Oh my God, I forgot her
Lauren.
Name. Lauren. She's very smart. She's very smart because even though she's super in awe with Kelly, she's not telling her about the idol. Good for you, girl. You don't share that. Especially with people that already play. And from the old players, I'm rooting for the girls, Kelly or Aubrey.
Okay.
So Chris, and I think Chris, I will pick Chris as my winner. I would like to pick a girl, but I think Chris will win.
Why? What's he doing that's so good?
He knows he's been, he has said what you want to hear. And he managed that brain tribal very, very wise. And I don't know, aside from the snake challenge, I think that he has a good chance of winning. I don't know. There's something about him that I like. Nothing related with the snake, by the way.
That is one heavy snake.
It is. It is. Bless him. Bless him.
Okay. Lyrsa, I have one more question for you.
Okay.
Will we ever get to see Douchebag One on Survivor?
I don't think so.
You don't think he'll make it?
Mm-mm. No, I...
Will any of the douchebags that you saw ever make it on Survivor?
No.
How will we know?
I don't know. They didn't give me the vibe that they were interesting enough. You have to be a very interesting person to be cast.
Yes.
Because they want to see someone that's, you know, it's a character in their own way, not a caricature, but that it's a character that has something to bring to the story. And based on the looks of the people I saw, I don't think they can bring it.
Okay.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry, douchebags. Do we have a hashtag for this podcast, Lyrsa?
Yes. Let me see. We can play Scramble Eggs with Rob or something like that.
Scramble Eggs with Rob?
Yeah.
You don't want to have a for douchebag one?
Hashtag douchey snake.
Snake. Okay, Lyrsa just passed the 3,000 follower mark on twitter.com. I was following it yesterday. I saw you were on 2999, Lyrsa.
I was?
Yes, you went over the hump.
Ooh, that's so good.
Yes, but they won't verify you, Lyrsa.
No, they won't. I don't know why. They won't. And I have
What's
tried.
Their problem?
I don't know. I wrote them like, hey, bitches, verify me. There's people stealing. Like, one person created an account on Facebook with my name and started adding my friends. And they were like, did you open another Facebook? I'm like, no. They were using pictures of me like 20 years ago. and that's what alerted them. Like, why are you posting like old pictures of you? I'm like, I haven't. But okay. I don't know. I think they're not doing that anymore. They're not doing the check marks anymore.
And then you are on Instagram, but I don't understand. What is your Instagram name?
My Instagram name is Toxoplasmolir because I love my
Is that a word scramble?
No, it actually comes from the disease toxoplasmosis. That's what they call the crazy cat lady syndrome. And because I have cats, I just
what is play. What is this, Lyrsa?
Toxoplasmosis is the crazy cat lady syndrome.
Okay.
If you have a lot of cats and there's like cross contamination with the feces of the cats, it affects your brain and you go crazy.
Why did you want this to be your Instagram name?
Because I love cats, but I play with the name and I'm a crazy cat lady. Now I'm a crazy Boston Terrier person.
Does your war dog and your cat get along?
Yeah, they do. Well, they're having fights from here and there, but mm-hmm. for most of the part, yeah.
She needed a peace dog.
She's very obsessed with the blind cat. She's mm-hmm. She's humping the blind cat, and he doesn't know what's happening.
That's not right. That's
I know. Right. Interpret like, yeah, it's not even your own species. What are you doing?
Does the blind cat at least think it's a cat?
No, he knows something weird is going on, and he's trying to. They look like Pepe Le Pew. You know that.
Yes.
They look like Skunk. Pepe Le Pew. Yeah, she's all over him, and he doesn't want to do anything with her. So mm-hmm. she's like following around. It's very cute. It's very cute.
Okay. Well, Lyrsa, I love getting to catch up with you. That you're so much fun to talk to.
Oh, thank you.
Is there anything else you want to tell people about?
Yes, people, watch out with your Facebook. Do not share your information. My fiance just got her identity stolen and they wipe out her account. So watch out for what you put out there.
Okay.
It happened.
So what happened? So Jess was that she went on Facebook and then bad guys stole her account.
We don't know what happened. Actually, she went to TJ Maxx and I asked her to buy me an egg holder. I'm not kidding. I'm really not kidding. I saw like a container that you can put your eggs on the fridge and I sent her a picture. I told her specifically where it was.
Do they have that at TJ Maxx?
Yes, in the TJ Maxx at Fresh Pond in Cambridge, they have it. I saw it the other day and it's my favorite color. It's like teal. And I told her, because the gym, it's right next to that TJ Maxx. I'm like, hey, can you go there and get it for me? I'll Venmo you the money. And she's like, fine. So she went and she got the egg holder. And when I got to the gym, because she's working there on Fridays, I'm like, babe, how much I owe you so I can like Venmo you the money. And she went into her bank account to double check. And that's when she noticed that someone stole all her money and she has $2 under her name. That's all she has.
But they stole her Venmo money.
No. They just stole the rest of her money, not the Venmo money. They stole $700
from her bank account.
From her bank account, yes. They stole her money, but we have the egg holder. So
okay.
Yeah, we're already called the bank, and we're figuring out. And I'm a good partner. I'll sponsor her.
Now, is this why you were fighting with Citizens Bank, or it's a whole different thing?
No, this is a different bank. This is Simple Bank.
Well, Citizens Bank, I think that they had to give the Phillies all their money so they could get Bryce Harper.
What?
That's baseball talk.
Oh, I only follow Red Sox games from time to time. Yeah, I know how to play baseball. I played baseball when I was a guy. I played softball, but I don't follow a lot of sports right now. I have to read a lot for school and work, so I don't have time for sports. Yeah.
Well, forget about these Boston sports teams. You don't even want to know what the Patriots are up to these days, Lyrsa.
I know what they're. I know what he did, honey. I know what he did. But sue me. I don't like the Patriots.
Oh, okay, good.
I don't like
me
them.
Neither. Me neither. Okay, Lyrsa. Thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on with us. That we have a lot more still to do this week. We have a new podcast on the schedule called This Week in Survivor. We're going to talk to Puya with Jordan Kalish, and we're going to play the This Week in Survivor history quiz and talk about everything going on Survivor social media. And trust me, it's a good week on Survivor social media. Besides what Lyrsa is tweeting about, we got a lot of good stuff going on there. And then Josh Wiggler and I are going to get into everything on this week's Wiggle Room and get into the Wand Off. Lyrsa, you like the Wand Off, right?
I love it. I love it. That guy that he made the song last week. Now I forgot what it was, but I love like the third song you guys play.
The third song?
Yes. It was okay. It was number three. It was
number
awesome.
Three.
Yeah.
Okay. It was let me see this one.
Rim Delio.
Yeah.
Voted out on day three. That makes no kind of sense to me.
That's the one you liked?
Yeah, he's really good with words. I like that one a lot.
Okay. Yeah, that's a new artist, Yeoman, on the Wand Off. Tune in on Monday to see, or on Tuesday, we put it out Monday night, to see who is the winner of this week's Wigglers Wombat's hat. And we're finally going to get out the Wigglers Wombat jacket officially, Lyrsa. You helped inspire that for the winner of last season's Wand Off.
Oh, that is so nice. Yeah, yes, everybody's still so obsessed with the jacket.
Yes. We'll send you a picture of it once we have that set up. And of course, we could not do any of this podcasting, or at least as much of it, without the support of the patrons of Rob as a Podcast. Of course, you can find out more information about that and all of the benefits of becoming a patron, all of the podcasts in our patron podcast feed, and more. Become a part of our patron community when you go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. Lyrsa, thank you so much. Hope
no,
you have
thank
a
you. Thank you for inviting me. I had a blast.
Yes, well, I hope you come back again, and thank you.
Anytime.
All right, have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.